donate by pulling it up and looking at what we'd like to offer you as a member, KBOO.FM, which allows us through the World Wide Web to go out to all the ships at sea.
And good morning. It is KBOO Portland, 1 minute before 10 o'clock. At 10:15, join us for Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And then at 11, it's Between the Covers. Today, David Naiman welcomes Yuri Hreda and his novel Kingdom Cons, a powerful reflection on the relationship between art and violence. And then at 11:30, join us for Words and Pictures. Today, with a look at virtual reality and 3D comics. Hear how the immersive technology is transforming the world of animation and comics. That's coming up at 11:30 today. But stay with us. We've got Air Cascadia up next. It's headlines, interviews, and commentary right after this.
KBOO, Community Radio, and the Jazz Society of Oregon are proud to present the 37th annual Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, July 14th, 15th, and 16th at Cathedral Park in North Portland. KBOO will be broadcasting live on Saturday beginning at 2 p.m. with the Bylines Quartet starting at 2:30. Again, that's the 37th annual Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, broadcasting on Saturday, July 15th from 2 to 10 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 16th Annual Northwest String Summit, July 13th through 16th at Horning's Hideout in North Plains, Oregon. The Northwest String Summit is a four-day celebration of Americana and bluegrass music hosted by the Yonder Mountain String Band. Guests include Green Sky Bluegrass, Elephant Revival, Fruition, Blitz and Trapper, the Shook Twins, and many, many more. Again, that's the 16th Annual Northwest String Summit, July 13th through 16th at Horning's Hideout, 21277 Northwest Brunswick Canyon Road in North Plains, Oregon. More information about the festival performers, parking, and admission can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, July 13th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, and your whistleblower radio. Anybody out there? Please call us. Call me. You have my cell phone number. Today's theme, of course, as again, just can't help but bring back the idea of best lack all conviction, while worst are filled with a passionate intensity. I don't know about conviction, but how about an indictment at the very least for Donald Trump and family? Today's weather mostly sunny, highs around 82 tonight, clear skies, lows around 58, and tomorrow, again, that bright, brassy blue and a high of around 84. And for Friday night, clear skies, lows around 59. We have an extraordinary guest, my favorite guest. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. Fred Overland is back. He's one of the investigative reporters. He is a tax attorney, tax fraud attorney, and he has been working on the Trump connections with Russia pretty much since they started, because they smelled bad. That's about as delicately as we could put it right now on the air. Again, call my cell phone number if you want to hear what I really think. But yeah, Fred Overlander is our guest today. And we also have Lana Jack. Lana's on the line right now. Good morning, Lana. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
So we've got very, very little time and no program tomorrow. So I tell listeners what's coming up that they might be very interested in.
Well, I have an event called Summer Offerings in Honor of the Ancestors, and I will be having a presentation on Standing Rock, and we will have some music, Tony Garcia, Sherry Davis. We are getting ready to do some fundraising.
How about storytellers?
Well, we have had a cancel on our storytellers, so...
You'll find them. They'll be in the audience. They'll be around.
Yeah.
They'll be there. The storytellers are always with us.
So the fundraiser is... we're raising funds to go back to D.C. to hand-deliver our appeal and statement of reasons to the Department of Interior, Secretary of Interior, for our right to fish. And under the 25 CFR code, this is the process. So we're just really hoping to get out and represent ourselves in D.C. very soon.
This is, just to emphasize it, this is a tradition. Offerings are essential to First Nations heritage, legacy, way of life. And in this case, it affects all of us. So this is something where everyone can participate and make this part of a really memorable summer. I want to thank you so much, Lana. We've got a very tight schedule today. I apologize. Any listeners, of course, who are curious and do want to find out more and participate, it's up to you. Just get out there, get up to the dials. One more time, location, where is this at?
Freebridge Brewery in the Dalles.
Freebridge Brewery.
5 to 10.
In the Dalles, 5 to 10. How easy is that? Thanks so much, Lana, for that. Again, Lana Jack, a guest representing Salila Wayab, and indeed all tribal people, everyone. First Nations, the voice of First Nations here. We have Fred Overlander is back, and I am so glad to welcome you back to the KBOO airwaves. I am going to step aside and leave the question, of course, of if this looks like currently the Russians were supposedly about to give, they were going to do give the Trump campaign some very important information, which the campaign might want. However, I'm wondering if what this these conversations were about was not perhaps blackmail, because the Russians do have quite a lot of information on Trump and family that Trump and family would rather keep private. Fred, good morning. Can you help us sort some of this out?
Well, don't make me out to be what I'm not. I wasn't a fly on the wall in any meetings with Russian adoption lawyers.
But you've been on the you've been on the money trail of this thing for a long time. And
let's put it this way. There is no doubt in my mind whatsoever that there are any number of people of Russian descent, such as Felix Sater, Heffa Gurith, and others, who have enough information on Donald Trump to theoretically put him in prison. There's a question whether or not you can indict a sitting president for crimes he committed before office. You may not be able to, but yes, as a concept, there are certainly Russians who have enough information on Donald Trump. We have enough information, and I assume the FBI knows everything we do, and certainly some of the Russians do too. So yes, and if, since you're not interrupting me, I would refer your listeners, not to my work, going to refer your listeners who care to two things they can find online. Again, they're not for me. One of which is an editorial or a guest editorial written about 4 years ago. Don't remember the man's name. The title is Delaware, Den of Thieves. And it's available online. I'm sure it's available for free. And the gentleman who wrote it for the Times was the former head of the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, I believe, or the Money Laundering Division of Treasury. And he complains that most real estate, for example, and God knows what else, is financed by dirty money, a lot of it Russian, that is hidden behind sham companies in Delaware. Delaware making most of its state budget out of facilitating money laundering like that. And to bring it up to date, there was an article out a week ago, or a website rather, that should be findable. And the thrust of it was, with the new investigation of from Mueller's people, and with the revelations of all of these emails to Trump and all of the visits and so on, it's entirely possible that the country is going to learn the dirty little secret of American real estate, which is that most of it is financed by illegal dirty money laundered in through Delaware sham companies supported by major law firms that make a good living in covering it up. I had nothing to do with those articles, but that's what's out there. That's real. They're very reputable sources, and Trump is up to his eyeballs in that. The only difference between Trump and the other developers is that they didn't become president. And I assure you, the people that sent in the money, I know perfectly well. For example, I can tell you readers that there were, I'm sorry, listeners, I apologize, I know it's still radio. There is a case in the Arizona Federal District Court covering Phoenix, and it's a bankruptcy proceeding. It dates to at least 2002, and there are filings on the docket in which Bayrock says that they would like to buy properties out of bankruptcy and is asking the creditors committee and the trustee to approve it because they've got a brand new development associate by the name of Donald J. Trump, who certainly doesn't need any introduction. What they probably want to know is that there were, I can't even remember, at least a dozen round-trip versions of that between the Trump people and the Bayrock people before it went into court, debating whether it was safe to admit or describe that Trump was a president, was a partner of them, should they call him a partner or not, and how's it going to look. That's been a consistent theme through all of this. Letters in 2005 to Bayrock from Donald's son saying, don't you forget, my father is your partner. And of course, all of a sudden, when he runs for president, he never heard of the guy and wouldn't recognize him if he bumped into him. So please, you know, use your own judgment here. We're all grown-ups. Not everything needs to be a smoking gun standing over the dead body of somebody shot in the head, screaming, I did it, and I'm glad I did. People can put two and two together and connect the dots. Yes, there are a lot of Russians. And finally, I can tell you personally that there are reputable journals that are not publishing, and this is not me, they're not publishing stories about Russians buying condominiums in Trump Tower in New York in the 80s because they're getting threat letters from attorneys representing Russians wanting to litigate them into bankruptcy. I have letters like that from broadcast stations just like yours in Europe that ran interviews with me and send letters saying, Bayrock's got lawyers in here representing very wealthy Russians screaming they're going to bankrupt us in litigation. This is what Russians do. I'm not all Russians. Come on. I mean, you know, I'm German. I'm not a Nazi. Obviously, not all Russians are dirty by any means. But this is how Russian organized crime works. The concept is called disinformation, disinformation. I can't pronounce Russian very well. What they do is they take the truth, embellish it, broadcast it everywhere, ruin your reputation, sue you, threaten to sue you, get you to do things by threatening they're going to do this to you. And so, yes, they're professionals at it. That's why it's called organized crime, because it's criminal and it's organized. Absolutely. Plenty of Russian people have plenty of dirt on Trump, and that is why in any sensitive spot in government, they never let you have the job and they think anybody has anything on you. When I was 20 and I was in a PhD program at Yale in computer science, I was hired to work at the Defense Department as a weapons scientist. I can tell you that the security clearance, and I was only 20, took 4 months. And one of the things they look for is